¿Cómo veis? Okay, if you remember yesterday, we said that there's a chashash that if you would allow a person to read Krishma all the way until Amud HaShacha, then he might come home from work and eat a bit and drink a bit and have a rest, and before you know it, he's missed Seif Zman Krishma. Therefore, Chazal said, instead, what you should do is the opposite. What you should do is you should learn, you should say Krishma, you should daven, and then you should eat. So the Gemara is going to be medayek a couple of words that we just said. The fact that we said you said Krishma and then you daven. By the way, let's just remind ourselves what we saw yesterday at the end in the Shulchan Aruch, which is very, very important. And that is, we saw, perhaps non-surprisingly, that we paskin like Shitas Chachomim. The Chachomim are the ones who say that you're supposed to say Krishma by Chatzos, and yet the Shulchan Aruch also told us, and this was also not a surprise for us, that if you did miss Chatzos, you can say it until the morning. So as we've said a number of times, there are not really three different opinions in the Mishnah. It's essentially two. Either B'shach B'chol means when people go to bed, or it means when people are in bed. Those are the two opinions, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Gamliel. And the Chachamim just take Rabbi Gamliel's opinion a little bit further, and they say, even though you're right, that essentially B'shach B'chol means when people are in bed, which means until the morning, but we don't want to have people reading Krishma after Chatzos. So we put up this siog, this geder, laharchik es ha'odom min ho'avir. By the way, a good quiz question for everybody. A very good quiz question. We know in countless places, Chazal create a siog. A siog, as we just said, means a fence. Good morning, Rav Nachum. So we have countless examples of where Chazal created a siog. And this would be a classic case in point, the very first Mishnah in Shas. And that is, even though you're allowed to read Kriya Shema Min HaTorah until the morning, but Chazal made a siog and they said, only until Chatzos. And we have countless examples, and we mentioned some of them the other day, whether it be chicken meat with milk, is a drabonon, etc., etc., etc. Do we have any examples? This is a good quiz question. Do we have any examples of where the Torah itself created a siog? Normally you have a halacha min ha-Torah, and then Chazal created a siog in order not to transgress the din min ha-Torah. Do we have any examples of when the Torah outlaws A so that you should not come to B? Do we have a siog min ha-Torah? This is a good quiz question. The answer is yes, we do. Does anybody have any examples of where we find that the Torah actually outlaws one thing because of a different issa? So it's a siog, but it's not a siog midrabbanon. It's a siog min ha-Torah. One of them we read just on Shabbos. And that is with regard to the nozeh. A nozeh is not allowed to drink wine. But the Torah says, so too, he should not have grapes or raisins, even though that's not wine. That is not a siog midrabbanon, that is a siog min ha-Torah. The Torah itself has said, don't eat grapes or raisins, because otherwise you're in fear of ending up drinking wine. So that would be an example of a siog min ha-Torah. Another famous example may be the Issa of Yichud. The Issa of Yichud is an Issa min ha-Torah. Some people don't know this, but they should. The Issa of Yichud is min ha-Torah. And the Issa of Yichud is a siog. Don't be involved in a Maisa of Yichud, because then it may lead to an Aveira. So it's a siog. Not midrabbanon, but rather min ha-Torah. And there are other examples as well. It's not our subject, but Normally, when we find the example of a siog, normally it's midrabbanon. Normally it's midrabbanon, and this is a classic case in point. Okay, so as mentioned, the Gemara told us a braisa that when a person comes home, he should not eat and sleep and drink, because then maybe he'll sleep until the morning, but rather he should learn, he should say Kriya Shema, and then he should daven. Says the Gemara, we're on the fifth last narrow line. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar. First word on the line is Rishus. Omar Mar. You said before, quote unquote, Koire Kriya Shema Umispalo. This is apparently the correct order of events. You are first supposed to say Kriya Shema, and then you are supposed to daven. Now, let's just point out by way of introduction that L'choira, we perhaps take this for granted, but L'choira, our Ma'ariv Tefillah, for example, consists of two parts which essentially have no connection to each other whatsoever. Meaning, what does our Ma'ariv entail? Two parts. The actual Tefillah, which is Shemoneh Esra, and Kriya Shema and the Brachas before and after, which is what we call the Brachas of Geula, Goal Yisrael. So every Ma'ariv comprises Kriya Shema and the Brachas and Tefillah. Now, is there any connection between each other? For example, Tefillah, we know there's an Inyan Lechatchila to daven Tefillah B'Tzibur. Is there any halacha to say Kriya Shema B'Tzibur? To say the Brachas of Kriya Shema B'Tzibur? Essentially not. So why don't we all say Kriya Shema at home, two brachas before, two brachas afterwards, and then we should go to davening to in shul for Shemoneh Esra? How did Kriya Shema and the brachas become a part of Ma'ariv? And the answer is because we know there's an issue called juxtapositioning Geula L'Tefillah. Being Seimeich Geula L'Tefillah. So when we davened Shachris this morning, we did exactly the same thing. We said Kriya Shema. Then we said the Bracha. We said Emes V'Yatziv V'Nochem, etc., etc. Ezras HaVeseinu, all the way to the end. Tzur Yisrael, Kuma Be'ezras Yisrael, etc., etc. Baruch Ato Hashem, Go'al Yisrael. And then all of a sudden, Shemoneh Esra. Juxtapositioning the Geula and Tefillah. We do the same in Ma'ariv, except we insert Hashkiveinu, which the Gemara will speak about. There also, we say Kriya Shema, and then what do we say next? Emuno kol zois v'kayem oleinu, ha-ma'avir bonov, mi'chomecha, borcha to Hashem, go'al Yisrael. And then Hashkiveinu, etc., etc. So once again, we are juxtapositioning the concept of Geula and Tefillah. That's why we do not say Kriya Shema and the Brachas at home. Rather, we say it as part of Ma'ariv. So now let's, with that introduction in mind, let's look back into the Gemara. Omar Mar. You told me, quote unquote, Koire Kriya Shema Umispalel, that you first read Kriya Shema and then you daven. That's the Seder. Well, then this would be a supporting proof to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Ezehu ben ha'olam haba, ze hasoimech geula letfila shel arvis. So Rabbi Yochanan is telling you that if you want to be zeicher, to be a ben oilam haba, you have to be seimeich geula letfilah, not just shachris. Shachris, everybody agrees you have to be seimeich geula letfilah. Here the chiddush is you have to be samech gula letfilah even in Arvis. Now, it's only considered be samech gula letfilah if you first say Kriya Shema, you finish off with the brachas of Goal Yisrael, and then Ashkeveinu, and then you say Shemona Esra. That's called being samech gula letfilah. What happens if you would switch the order? What happens if you would daven Shemona Esra first and then say Kriya Shema? Well, obviously, that's not considered being samech gula letfilah, just because you happen to say them in close proximity, but the bracha of Geula was not close to the tefillah. Because you first davened, then you said the first two brachas, then you said Kriya Shema, then you said Goal Yisrael. By the time you say it, it's 5 minutes after the Shemona Esra. That's not called being samech gula letfilah. But what we do in our Mariv, that is considered to be samech gula letfilah. So we say the first two brachas, we say Kriya Shema, we say the next two brachas, which are the brachas of Geula, and then we daven. So what is the diuk of the Gemara? But if you're telling me that you're supposed to be Kairi Kriya Shema and then Mispalel, so it's quite clear that what is the correct order? First Kriya Shema and then Tfilah. Well, if that's what it says in the Braisa, then the Braisa constitutes a proof to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says you've got to be Samech Geula Letfilah, not just in Shachris, which everybody agrees to, but even in Mariv. This Braisa, L'chaira, backs up Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that there is an Inyan to be Samech Geula Letfilah, not just for Shachris, even for Mariv. Says the Gemara, as opposed to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi disagrees and he says, Omer, he says, Tfilois be'emtza tiknum. What does it mean, be'emtza tiknum?
Middle of two recitations.
In the middle of the two Kriya Shemas. We say Kriya Shema once in the morning and once in the night. Reb Yeshua ben Levi says all of the three Shemona Esras of the day, Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv, are in between those two Kriya Shemas. So it's a sandwich. Kriya Shema in the morning on one side, Kriya Shema in the evening on the other side, and Shachris, Mincha, and Mariv are in between the two. That's what it means, Be'emtza Tiknu. So according to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Shua ben Levi clearly maintains that you do not have to be Seimech Geula Letfilah in Mariv. Because according to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, when are you saying Kriya Shema in Mariv? Not before the Shemona Esra, but rather after the Shemona Esra. And that's what our Gemara is pointing out, that our Braisa would seem to back up the position of Rabbi Yochanan, because the Braisa says, first you're Kairi Kriya Shema, and then you are Mispalel. Whereas according to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, you'd actually do the opposite. You would first be Mispalel, and then you'd be Kairi Kriya Shema. But that's not what it says in the Braisa. Have a look at Rashi. And Rashi on the second narrow line. Omama, Kairi Kriya Shema, says Rashi, shall Arvis Tchilo. You first recite the Kriya Shema of Mariv, Vachar Kach Mispalel. And only then do you daven. So the Kriya Shema precedes the tefillah. Messiah lay, says Rashi to Rabbi Yochanan. This would be a proof to Rabbi Yochanan. The Omar, who said, Rabbi Yochanan holds, Arvis Nami, Kriya Shema, Vachar Kach Tefillah. What does it mean, Nami? As well, in addition to Shachris. When it comes to Shachris, everybody agrees that you first do Kriya Shema and then you daven. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that the same would apply for evening as well. That's the Nami, the Arvis Nami, Kriya Shema v'achar kach tefillah. Why? Kedei, in order, sheyismoich geula letfilah. In order that at Mariv, just like at Shachris, you should juxtaposition geula litfila udalaik Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Not as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds, the Omar tfila v'chakach krishma. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds that first you daven and then you say krishma. As we said before, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the two krishmas are in the beginning and the end of the day. And all the davenings are in between. Such that when it comes to Maariv, you would first daven and then say krishma. According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, krishma begins the day and krishma ends the day. I.e., he holds that when it comes to Maariv, you do not need to be semach geula l'tfila. Says Rashi, v'hasoymech, if somebody is soymech geula l'tfila, so the Gemara describes him in very lavish terms, you become a ben olam habo. We'll see in a second why that should be the case. Says Rashi, v'kol shekein d'shachris. If this is true according to Rabbi Yochanan at night, then all the more so it's true in the morning. Why is it even more true in the morning? The Ikka Geulas Mitzrayim B'Shachris. The main Geulas Mitzrayim actually took place in the morning. Hava Kedeksiv Mimocharas HaPesach Yotzu B'nei Yisrael. So we're going to see shortly in the Gemara, there was also an element of Geula in the night. But the main Geula was in the morning. That's why everybody agrees when it comes to the morning, you've got to be simach Geula litfila. But in the night, that's where there's a machlekes. Rabbi Yochanan says yes, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says not. Says Rashi, v'smichas geula l'tfila. This concept of juxtapositioning the geula l'tfila, Ramza David b'sefer Tehillim. David HaMelech has hinted to us in the Sefer Tehillim where it says, Diksiv Hashem tzuri v'goyali. On the one hand, you talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being our rock and our redeemer. The somich lay, and then very close it says, Yan Cho Hashem b'yoyim tzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers on the day of stress, distress, that's an inyan of tefillah. So you see that David HaMelech has also juxtapositioned two different brachas, one that talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being our goyel, and another one that talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu answering our tefillah. So you see there the concept of juxtapositioning geula l'tefillah. Says Rashi, V'omrinom b'Yerushalmi, V'brachas Yerushalmi. And now we're going to learn a little bit what is the inyan of being Simach Geula L'Tfilah about. Says Rashi, V'omrinom b'brachas Yerushalmi. It says in the Gemara Brachas in Yerushalmi, Hai man. Sorry. Mi she'enoi soymech geula l'tfila. If somebody does not juxtaposition geula l'tfila, l'mohu doime. What is he comparable to? L'oyavoi shel melech. Somebody who loves the king. Shebo, who comes along, v'dofak al pischoi shel melech. This great friend and admirer of the king comes and knocks on the door of the palace of the king. Yotso HaMelech. So the Melech leaves his house, wants to answer his door to welcome in his great friend. Umotsoi Shehiflig. And then he finds that, guess what? The friend is no longer there. He's moved away from the front door. Well, if that's the case, says the king, I'm going to do the same. Afu miflig. So then I also move away. In other words, he's come, he's knocked on the door. So why all of a sudden has he disappeared? And if he disappears, then I'm going to disappear too. That's the moshel. So what's the nimshel? So Rashi is telling us in the name of the Gemara Yerushalmi that this is what the concept of being simach geula letzfilah is all about. When you mention the geula, that is tantamount to knocking on the palace's door. Knocking kaviyachal on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's door. You've spoken about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've mentioned in the inyan of geula all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koichos, all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashkacha. So you've knocked on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's door. How would you not follow that up with tefillah? If you don't follow that up with tefillah, then it's like you're running away from Hashem. And if you run away from Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will run away from you as well, chas v'shalom. So rather, that's what you should not do. Don't knock on the door and then run away. So what should you do? Hello. Yehei Adam mekarev l'Kadosh Baruch Hu Elov. A person should draw himself near to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umeratzehu b'tishbachos. And you appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu with praises, v'kilusin, and all different compliments, shall yitzias Mitzrayim. V'hu miskarev elav, and that way you have become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you've knocked on the door. U'ba'oidai karev elav, and whilst you are still close, meaning having just spoken about the geula, that's now the time not to run away. To the contrary, that's the time that you should be asking for your needs. So this is a very, very, very important Rashi. As mentioned, it's not the Chiddush of Rashi, it's a Gemara Yerushalmi in Brachas. The whole concept of being Semech Geula Letfila is you're knocking on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's door. You have brought yourself close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by mentioning all the nisim and all the chesed and all the hashkach that took place in Mitzrayim. Once you've brought yourself close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't now run away. If you run away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will run away too, Kav Yachol. Rather, having brought yourself close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, now's the time to put in all your requests, i.e. Shmoneh Esrei.
Just a quick question on halacha lemaisa. So when you, if someone comes late to a marv and they get there and they're up to that point of Shmoneh Esrei, you're supposed to say Shmoneh Esrei and then go back.
It's a good question. We'll see this in Shulchan Aruch. One is lechatchila not supposed to be mevatel the inyan of being semach geula letfilah. So we'll have to see what's better. Should you just launch into Shmoneh Esrei in order to daven tefillah betzibur, or should you say krishma in order to be Marviach v'mayla bin Semach Geula letfilah? A very good shayla. But it's all theoretical, obviously, because it only refers to somebody who, in theory, would come late to Marv, and that would never happen. Rabbeinu Yaina explain something very, very important over here. And Rabbi Yisai, this is absolutely critical because this is negea to us every single day of our lives without fail. Rashi has explained this concept of knocking on the door. You've come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What exactly does that mean? How have you come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by mentioning all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nisim in Mitzrayim? I've complimented HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's true. But how have I thus come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, and we have to stress this is so, so, so critical. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, tefillah is all about one thing. How would we sum up the entire avoida of tefillah in one word? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, in one word, we would call it bitachon. The way he expresses it is, why would you ask anybody for anything if you didn't have bitachon in him? If I need $1 million because I'm in big debt, I don't knock on somebody's door who doesn't have money. Or I don't knock on somebody's door, even if he does have money, if he's got no interest in giving me the money. Or I don't knock on somebody's door who's got money and he's interested to give me the money, but he's got no access to his own money. I've got to have bitochen in the koyach that I am investing my hope in, that this koyach cares about me, is interested in my welfare, has the ability and the interest to do everything for my good. That's called bitochen. So essentially, when we daven Shmoneh Esra every single day of our lives, we are actually involved in a daily project of bitochen. That's what it is. It's bitochen. When I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for refuah shelema, for parnasa, for das, for chochma, whatever it may be, that is an act of bitochen. Says Rabbeinu Yoinah, but before one engages in that act of bitochen, one needs a little injection, a chizuk in bitochen. How do you go about getting that injection, that chizuk in bitochen? And the answer is, imagine if chas v'shalom, you found yourself in huge financial crisis. And you need to get yourself out of a big hole and you need to get hold of $1 million. And you're totally lost. And you're desperate, trying to rack your brains. Who could you possibly ask to lend you or give you $1 million? In other words, who can you have bitochen in? Imagine if there's a particular wealthy individual who's known to be extremely stingy. Or he's known to be very generous, but for some reason, whenever you personally have asked him for help, he's never given you that help. Well, obviously, you will not have any bitochen in that person. That person is stingy, doesn't give money, or at least he doesn't give it to me. But if I'm able to recall a particular individual who time and time and time again has come to my aid, and he bends over backwards to assist me financially and does whatever he can to help me at all times, that's the person that I have bitochen in. Lahavdil elef alfei avdolis. When we need a quick injection of bitochen before we engage in an act of bitochen, which is tefillah, we first recall all the tremendous chasodim and nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for Klal Yisrael. Because once we recall that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done Kriyas Yamsuf, and he has done Makas Bechiris, and he has done the Esenisim, and he has done Gulas Mitzrayim, so you see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has produced miracle after miracle. You see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown us time and time again his immense love for Klal Yisrael. That inspires me with bitochen. And that, therefore, is my introduction to tefillah. And that's what it means to knock on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's door and become close to him. We asked, how by complimenting HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that knocking on his door and coming close to him? The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need our compliments. Do you know who needs our compliments? We need it. Because when we compliment, when we praise the Ribbono Shel Olam, we are drawing ourselves close to him in our bitochen. We are making ourselves more dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what's going on every single day when we're being so mahgur of the tefillah. We're knocking on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's door, meaning we're bringing Hashem close, or we're bringing ourselves close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by reminding ourselves of all this tremendous chasodim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us over the course of the ages. Now look back in the Gemara. We have a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Everybody agrees you've got to be seimach geula l'tefillah in the morning. What about at night? Rabbi Yochanan says yes. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says not. Says the Gemara, what's the machlokes? On the last narrow line, b'mai kom miflegi. What is the argument about? Says the Gemara, ibois eimakra, ibois eimasvara. You could explain the machlokes in two ways, either based on how you interpret a particular pasuk, or it's based on logic. Ibois eimasvara could be based on logic. Why? The Rabbi Yochanan sova, Rabbi Yochanan holds that geula meurta nami hava. What's meurta? Meurta is the evening. Rabbi Yochanan maintains that there was an element of geula even at night, albeit ela geula ma'alaisa. But the complete geula, I admit, lo havia elo ad safra. That was only in the morning. So that's why everybody agrees, like we said before, that you've got to be same of geula l'tfil in the morning because that was the main zman of geula. Says Rabbi Yochanan, but I maintain that the beginning of the geula started at night. Whereas Rabbi Shua ben Levi saw, brother, no, kiven deloy hava elo mitzafra, seeing as the geula only came to a close in the morning, loy havia geula ma'alaisa. Therefore, that's not called geula at night. It didn't happen twice. It happened in the morning, says Rashi. Be'emtza tiknum, Rabbi Shua ben Levi says that all of the tefillahs go in between the Kriya Shema's, bein shnei Kriya Shema, between the two Kriya Shema's of the day, tiknu kol tefillah shel yoim. That's when they instituted all the tefillah, the kosar, because he holds that tefillahs arvis is koidemes le Kriya Shema, that the Shmoneh Esra comes before Kriya Shema. Why? Because he holds that geula meurta layava. There was no geula in the evening. Hilkach geula d'orta. Therefore, the geula that we mentioned in the Shmoneh Esra, loy chashiva, is not that important. Lahaduri olas michas tefillah. In order to insist that you should juxtaposition the tefillah to the geula, that's not so critical at night. Why not? Because the main geula did not actually happen at night. So that's a logical way of explaining the machlokes. Do you look at every stage of the geula or just at the final part of the geula? Tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see how this machlokes can be explained in a different way, not based on logic, but based on the psukim. In the meanwhile, I wish everybody a good day.
Good day.